Minutes ago, there was a new headline that was posted by the New York Times, which suggests that a bomb smuggled into the Tehran guest house months ago is what killed the Hamas leader, Ismail Haniyeh. An explosive device hidden in a heavily guarded complex where Ismail Haniyeh was known to stay in Iran was what killed him, according to a Times investigation. Is that operation part of the what is called an Israel victory? That's the name of a new book. It's an important new book. The subtitle is provocative in and of itself, Israel Victory, How Zionists Win Acceptance and Palestinians Get Liberated. The author is Daniel Pipes, who's a friend for many years. He is the president of the Middle East Forum and a historian who's also a columnist for the Washington Times. And his special interests include the public role of Islam, Turkey, the Arab-Israeli conflict, and the liberal-conservative divide. Are people hearing that in the background? Yeah. We are not in a war zone here. This is the Blue Angels. The Blue Angels come to celebrate Seafair in Seattle every year. It's a real highlight for this country. And those are friendly jets that you hear in the background. Daniel, your subtitle says How Zionists Win Acceptance and Palestinians Get Liberated. Doesn't getting, quote, liberated for Palestinians require the destruction of Israel as a Jewish state?
No, Michael. Thank you for the question. No, getting liberated means getting out from under this obsession with the destruction of their neighbor. It means accepting Israel. It means moving on. It means dealing with reality.
And how do they get liberated?
They get liberated by the Israelis changing their mentality. Excuse me. I argue that there's been a remarkable continuity going back almost a century and a half in which both the people now called Israelis and the people now called Palestinians developed attitudes towards each other in a very different circumstance in the 1880s. And despite all that's happened, those mentalities remain in place. They're unproductive, they're counterproductive, they're just completely inappropriate. And on the Palestinian side, that means rejectionism. No, no, no. On the Israeli side, it means what I call conciliation, hoping to win the approval, hoping to win the acceptance of the Palestinians through economic benefits and other methods of placation. And I'm saying, hey, Israelis, you've got it wrong. The conflict will never end if you have this weak approach. You need to, instead of trying to manage and placate, you need to win. That is how things happen. As you mentioned, I'm a historian, and if you look at history, that's how conflicts come to an end. When one side gives up and the other side wins, and that is the same here.
In that context, Daniel, what do you think? Do you think that the killing of Shukr and Haniyeh, the chieftains from both Hamas and Hezbollah, that those killings will bring us closer to a resolution, to a final victory?
I think they are steps in that direction, but the Israelis have always been tactically very tough and very competent, and these two executions confirm that record. While they have been tactically very tough and capable, I think on the larger level, on the strategic level, they have been far less tough and far less capable. When you look at their general approach towards the Palestinians, it's really quite weak. So there's this contrast between tactical aggressiveness and strategic weakness.
So you would say that we've heard two things. And you write about this today in the Wall Street Journal in an excellent column that we've linked to our website at michaelmedved.com, that you hear two things coming from the Israeli establishment, from the people in power. Number one is that the goal of this war is total victory and the elimination of Hamas. And number two, that the real goal of the war is the liberation of the more than 100 hostages who remain imprisoned somewhere in Gaza. What is the better way to state a goal for this war than these two alternatives that seem to contradict each other?
They do contradict each other. You can't both aim to destroy Hamas at the same time that you're negotiating with it. However, that has been for almost 10 months the Israeli approach. And I think, not entirely sure, but it looks like this attack in Tehran on Ismail Haniyeh suggests that Netanyahu, the prime minister, has decided to go for victory. That is a great move, I believe, for the reasons I explained before. You don't win a war by getting your hostages back. That is a very desirable outcome, but it can't be your goal in the war. Imagine if Pearl Harbor had not led to thousands of deaths, but instead thousands of kidnapping. Imagine the American goal in World War II had been to release the prisoners. You know, pretty strange, right?
Yes, needed more than that. So, basically, if there needs to be situation where the Palestinians get liberated, how does this apply to Hezbollah, which isn't even Palestinian? I mean, those are Shiite Muslims from Lebanon and Syria who at no time claim Palestinian heritage, right?
Right, very different. As are the Houthis in Yemen and other groups in other Middle Eastern countries. Now, I make a very distinct differentiation between Palestinians, let's say West Bankers and Gazans on the one hand, and other Arabic speakers and Muslims on the other hand. I believe that Israel's travail in the world is not about Iran, not about Hezbollah, not about these other groups. It's exclusively about the West Bank and Gaza. That is to say that nobody really cares about Iran. Nobody is jumping up and down at the United Nations or in the streets of American cities because of Iran. They're doing it because of the Palestinians. The Palestinians are a threat, not so much militarily, though, as we have seen, they can murder people, but they are politically. They can delegitimate Israel. And the only way that Israel can finally become a normal country is by getting the Palestinians, not Hezbollah, not Iran, not Turkey, but the Palestinians to accept it. Yes, there can be other military threats, but Israel is very strong militarily. It is not strong politically. It faces a unique worldwide hostility. And the only way to deal with that hostility is by getting the Palestinians to calm down and accept Israel. And that's therefore why I make that the focus of my book, rather than Hezbollah or Iran or Turkey or Malaysia or many, many other enemies of Israel. They're followers. It is the Palestinians, West Bank, Gaza in particular, that are the essence of the problem.
Okay, the book is called Israel Victory. The subtitle is How Zionists Win Acceptance and Palestinians Get Liberated. Can you stay with us a moment more, Daniel?
Sure.
Because what I'd like to get into is the Palestinians and Palestinian spokespeople have turned down all kinds of generous offers, territorial offers and political offers by Israeli leadership. How do you persuade them or get them to accept those offers? We will be right back with Daniel Pipes, author of Israel Victory, coming up. With a new pivot point on the fighting in the Middle East after the targeted assassination of two extremely well-known and powerful terrorists, people in the case of Fuad Shukr, who have a bounty on their head placed there by the United States. People in our country should never forget that it was Hezbollah who drove a car into the barracks where American Marines were staying for a peacekeeping mission to which they had been dispatched to Lebanon. And 243 people, some sources say 241, were killed, were murdered by Islamic fanatic terrorists. The question is, how does Israel deal with Palestinians, quote, getting liberated and accepting the state of Israel, when in so many negotiations in the past, very prominently including the Oslo Accords, they haven't accepted the idea of a two-state solution? And Daniel, you're not in favor of that solution either, are you?
I'm totally against it in the short term, but in the very long term, when the happy day comes that the Palestinians truly, enduringly accept the Jewish state of Israel, then I'm okay with it. But I don't think it's a prospect.
Okay, so how do we get to that acceptance that you're talking about? Because that's in the very title of your book, Israel Victory. How do we achieve Zionist acceptance?
I propose two steps for Israel. The first is to get rid of the noxious Palestinian Authority, and the even worse, Hamas, and instead replace these in the West Bank and Gaza, respectively, with what I call decent authorities. That is to say, not gentle democratic governance, but tough police states such as exist in Egypt and Jordan, the norm for the region, where if you live your life quietly and don't make trouble, everything's fine. But if you do make trouble, the house falls in on you. Enough with the gentle efforts by Israel to win acceptance of its neighbors. And the second step, I urge, is that the Israelis, who have historically looked upon their Palestinian neighbors as a feral, permanent, unyielding enemies, that they note that in fact there are changes taking place, and the growing numbers of the Palestinians, as shown by both anecdotal and survey research, do accept Israel and are willing to work with Israel, and that there is potentially a change ahead. Now, I can't promise this. I could be wrong, but I do think it's very much worth a try. The Israelis have a major effort of what they call hasbara, propaganda, but it tends to be for the Arab states, for the outside world, for American students on TikTok, and it's not for the prisoners, the students, the mosque-goers, the newspaper readers in the West Bank and Gaza. So I think real attention to public opinion and helping to mold it could make a great difference at this time.
Well, right now at this time, there's a historical hinge, and it's not just the war that's going on. It's the age of Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen, who is going into, what is it, his 22nd year of his four-year term?
Just 20th
of his four-year term as president of the Palestinian Authority. He's 85 years old. He certainly, if... He is probably has a limited shelf life, as they say. What happens after he departs the scene? What I understand is most of the popular people that you hear about among Palestinians in the West Bank are even less amenable to a reasonable coexistence and peace between the two peoples than Abu Mazen.
Well, a couple of points. I mentioned earlier that I want the Israelis to get rid of the Palestinian Authority. I don't want to wait for Mahmoud Abbas to expire. I want his foul regime gone tomorrow. Secondly, it's ironic that the Gazans, who historically have been more anti-Zionist than the West Bankers, today are actually less so. And the reason is simple, that while the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank is foul, as I just mentioned, at least it doesn't purposely exploit the suffering of West Bankers to promote its place in the world, which is precisely what Hamas does. Hamas wants hunger, deprivation, and death for Gazans because that is its coin. That's how it gets support, as we've seen since October 7th. So Gazans, as a result, are less hostile. They have suffered more, and they're more amenable. All the surveys show that. So my focus is on Gaza. I think the real opportunity, the best opportunity, is in Gaza. West Bank, less so.
Well, Israel left Gaza entirely. Every scrap, every settler, every soldier, every cop, all left in 2005. You saying that Israel is going to have to reestablish some kind of Israeli-aligned administration in Gaza?
I sure am, yeah. That was a disaster. How can anyone do that? How can anyone leave a neighboring territory to its most fanatical enemies?
Well, it was Ariel Sharon's decision, right? I mean, conservative prime minister of Israel.
Well, once a conservative hardline who turned into a softy and decided to hand over this territory to Israel's most fanatical enemies. A horrible decision. Now, the Israelis have a history of these horrible decisions. That's what I said. Tactically brilliant, but strategically incompetent. After 1967, they had this tremendous victory in the Six-Day War, and they threw it away. 1993, they made this disastrous Oslo Accords. 2005, the catastrophic withdrawal from Gaza. Yes, they keep making these terrible mistakes of handing over benefits, being nice, hoping that they'll be accepted in return. I say enough. That's failed over and over again. Time to get tough.
Does Israel need new leadership?
Well, I do think that Benjamin Netanyahu, for all his many successes, should give way to new energy, new faces, new ideas, yes.
And that new leadership still has to coordinate. One of the questions about the United States and our position right now is that with the Iranians vowing vengeance, how does that impact U.S. policy for Iran and for the region?
Well, the very considerable and noisy anti-Zionist elements in the United States and around the world, as I mentioned before, are focused on Gaza and the West Bank. They really don't care about Iran. They don't care about Lebanon. And therefore, the U.S. government, the Biden administration, is strong in support of Israel. Secretary of Defense Austin has come out and said, we're with you against Iran. And indeed, when the Iranians set a barrage of missiles and drones in mid-April against Israel, the U.S. was there to help knock them down. So that is much less of a fraught issue than Gaza. Gaza is Palestinians, and Palestinians are the vehicle for anti-Zionism, for anti-Semitism, for anti-colonialism, for all these real and imaginary efforts against Israel.
And again, to the immediate trick in terms of getting some Palestinian acceptance, for instance, of a more permanent Israeli presence of some kind in Gaza, what's the essence of getting that done?
The essence is to have a tough administration along the lines of Egypt and Jordan that won't accept misbehavior and that will rule effectively. It shouldn't be that hard. Though I must say that the months have gone by And the Israelis have not done a good job, and it's much more difficult now than it would have been last fall.
Israel Victory is the name of the book. It was a book that was finished before the October 7th invasion and massacre by Hamas. And then he took it back and rewrote it and changed it. And those changes are very important. The topic is very important. Daniel Pipes appreciates your contribution, and may you have only success in this greatest nation on God's green earth.